Good afternoon. It is a Monday, kicking off your work week Monday, March the 19th. Only 3 days away from the first day of spring. Can you believe that? 2018, 16 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears along with you for the next 2 hours. Want to give you a quick programming note. Coming up next hour on the program, we have Rebecca Shull. Rebecca Shull was Faye Cochran, on the hit TV series Wings, which ran on NBC from 1989 until 1997. Faye Cochran was her character on Wings, the ticket taker. And she's done a lot of Broadway and a lot of other hit movies, Analyze This, Analyze That. Rebecca Shull, next hour here on the program today. And do want to remind you, this program will be on the road come Wednesday. Wednesday, we will be in Pittsburgh, broadcasting live from the Heinz History Museum, 12:10 to 5 p.m., with Adam Lepp, Terry Tackett, and Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, David Newell, and a couple of other great guests flown in. That'll be Thursday, live from Pittsburgh, 12:10 to 5 p.m. And on Friday, we are going to stay in Pittsburgh, because on Friday morning, the United States Postal Service is going to be issuing the Mr. Rogers stamp, and we will be there live on the scene at the historic WQED Studios in Pittsburgh this coming Friday, March the 23rd, but Thursday, March the 22nd, with David Newell. And you may ask, why the Heinz History Museum? Well, that's where the Mr. Rogers set is. When the series was over, they dismantled the set and they moved it to the Heinz History Museum, and we'll be broadcasting there live on Thursday. Now, this hour, we have a guest who we haven't had on in about 2 years. He is a legendary figure in the history of professional wrestling, a legendary figure in the world in general. He's a good friend, he's a generous man, and it's always good to have him on the program to get his take on things going on in the world, the legendary Thunderbolt Patterson. Thunderbolt, how are you?
Heaven high, sir. Very good. And you?
Doing very well. Always good to talk with you. How are things down south?
Hey, it's going on very well. I mean, we just, every day, taking step by step, trying to follow Jesus, doing what's right.
Thunderbolt, there are a few things I wanted to ask you today in this hour, and we'll get right into it here. When it comes to, well, let's start with the big topic right now, which is guns in America. After the school shootings, a lot of people walked out of schools last week. A lot of people are changing their mind. Governors, congresspeople, senators, even the president. What do you make of the state of guns in America?
Well, you know, guns been around a long time. Guns don't do anything to people. It's the people that deal with them, you know? And I think we can... Everything that's under the sun goes back to upbringing and getting some understanding. And it's about renewing the mind from things that have been put there. A lot of sick people that need a lot of help. There's so many different things that need to be discussed and changed to make some rights. You know, so it's very difficult to just get down to one specific thing, because you got a lot of people that you know, and we know that our law enforcement really need guns. We just won't get into the military part, because that's heavy. But we're talking about just here, picking up a gun, going killing somebody for whatever reason. You know, and the upbringing, the fear stirring in the minds of, we don't give our police officers respect. There's so many things. We don't give our women's respect. There's so many things that runs into the killing, the things that we do as human beings. So, you know, it's real deep, man. And, you know, we can't solve it, but, you know, Jesus can, if we can get people to come together and try to get some understanding.
Thunderbolt, one of the big questions is, in the United States of America, you have to be 21 to drink, you have to be 18 to gamble, you have to be 16 to drive an automobile, but there are no regulations when it comes to guns. There are ways around that. Why do we put regulation on other things, but no regulation on the firearms?
Well, think about it, man. Everything's about money in different ways. Control it. Everything's about that dollar. All about numbers, man. You know, they do laws. Well, they make them to break them, don't they? I mean, who do those, or do they pertain to certain people? Is everybody treated right? Come on, man, it's deep. It's really deep. And it's something that only Jesus can solve, but we just have to come together, man. And you know, I tried to say, let's talk. You know, and, okay, but folks don't want to talk. Folks want to tell you what they want you to believe. It's all about that dollar. I mean, kids. Hey, man, it's deep.
Putting
age on lives, trying to scare killing your children with the police officers. That's got to protect us. If we didn't have no law and order, man, we'd be in deep, deep trouble.
This brings up an interesting point, Thunderbolt. There are many groups in this country, one of those being Black Lives Matter, that feel that people who are African American are targeted, killed unjustly by police officers. What's your feeling on this?
Man, every life matters. Every life matters. I mean, and just look at it. It's all in the book. It's all in the history. You know, I mean, you got to love everybody. But, I mean, history is history. What has happened has happened. And, you know, there's no way around it. But you can't be bitter. You know, I mean, hey. And when it comes down to things like that, I have to really just get deep into my field, what I've done, and how I was mistreated or whatever, you know. But every life matters, and everybody bleeds red blood. Divide and conquer. Come on, man. Come on. This ain't the Willie Lynch days. This is everybody. It's coming together. No, man. Come on. It's deep. It's deeper than this here. Understanding. We got to get some understanding about this whole thing.
your industry was the professional wrestling industry.
Oh, boy. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Whew. You know, hey, I got a manuscript already written for that.
You know?
And it was Nellie Mae Rose.
Well,
Nellie Mae Rose, she painted a piece of art of me. And it's just so much. But God's good, though, man. And it's all in the book. You know, hey, let's talk. It's people. It's the country, the world, people. I know the wrestling fans is tired of being, dictated, used. You know what I mean? They put off on them whatever they want on them, not what is capable of talent or know-how. You know, we're not going to waste no time on this color thing. That's just a diversion. Everybody know what the world is, what's been going on, and what is still going on. All you got to do is deal for you. Everybody got to deal for themselves. Love everybody. I hate some black people. The way they do, I don't hate them. Love them. But I don't like what they do. And white, I don't like what they do. I don't hate them. I love them. But I don't like what they do. Or how I was done. I'm not talking about something we had to go back to something in the 18-something because Willie Lynch kept it. That was a piece to put it there. To have on history that was done right here. And here it is now. You know, pretty near. You know, same things. Of not of divide and conquer. Don't no understanding. All the understanding you get is what we want you to understand. My way or no way. Come on, man. Come on. I chose to go Jesus' way. Come a point in my life where I understood where family, loved ones, mate, whatever, it's about all about Jesus and treating people the way you want to be treated and loving them regardless of what they done to you. Now, we got to lay all this down. Guns don't kill, people kill. Them laws on them books, people break them and people uphold them and whatever. Anybody that try, most people that try to do something right or decent, I mean, they kick to the curb or, you know, but I guess that's the balance of the world, you know. But I mean, it's time. It's been time. Martin said a long time ago, now's the time. You know, and when Martin brought it together, when labor left on me, oh boy, some heavy things, oh boy, and some things that should be discussed. And but we need some knowledgeable people that is willing to tell the truth. You know, there's a whole lot of facts that's out there now. Those facts can't change the truth. They only hid them or hide them for so long. But the truth, hey, come on, can change what we've been led to believe. Oh. Did I say, do you feel me?
I do, and you know what?
Do you hear me?
I hear you, and Thunderbolt, this is what is interesting to me. You debuted in professional wrestling, 1964. Now, in 1964, you were a big draw all over this country, and Bobo Brazil was a big draw in this country, but there were places in 1964, because of legislation in the South, where you and Bobo, people might have bought a ticket to see you, But there were restaurants you couldn't go into, hotels where you could not stay. What is that like when they'll buy a ticket to see you, but then you can't even stay at the same hotel with other people?
You know something, I really would like to, the people that would be interested, you know, what I'd really like to discuss. And really, I got part of it down already, and there's a lot more to go to it. But that's something that you know, we got so much diversion, we got so many haters, we got so many people, just like on that Facebook, we got so many people that throw monkey wrenches into anything to try to go on, and you know, like on Facebook, for one example, try to put something on that's good, and there's some kind of way they put everything on there, on what you put on there, of how they want to see it, how they got to live, but it ain't supposed to go that way. And then, I mean, that's it, and it's wrong. So it's something, that's a piece that, I'd like to, you know, it takes days to sit down and get talk to people about stuff like that. And the government, the school, local stuff, things like that. We need so much togetherness and so much communication, and so that we can, you know, try to help these kids and y'all, and think about us old folks. You see, I didn't write. Look. Eric Bischoff told me, you find out this year. When Eric Bischoff took over up there in Atlanta. At that time, Eric Bischoff asked me a question. Said, what can you do for this company? This is in Atlanta, Georgia now. And the other was, you're too old. We're not dealing with older people now. I mean, you look into that. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
I mean, like, it's all about that dollars and cents, man. All about that dollars and cents. And the story, and I want to thank you, and giving honor to God, thanking God. I want to thank you for, you know, all these years. And, you know, I've been knowing you for a pretty good little while, coming up and back and forth and all. And it seems to me that you're really, really interested in not just wrestling or not just this or that. There's so many things that you seem to be knowledgeable of and interested in, and we're talking about people. We're talking about truth. We're talking about bringing people together. We're talking about youth. We're talking about law and order in just the greatest country in the world. So, you know, they just say, what you going to do? What you going to do? It's time. Overdue. But it's never too late. Because we got a generous and a graceful and a loving God that have already gave it to us. And just the time is bringing together people that understand and just do what you do, that you do so well. So I want to thank you for being a friend.
Well, that's an absolute reciprocation on my part. And I think it's interesting because you talk about your conversation with Eric Bischoff there, which happened in the mid-1990s. You were with Turner Broadcasting, WCW, World Championship Wrestling, in the early 90s. What was it like there for you at that time?
Well, it was putting me out. That's all in the book, man. It's all in the movie. They was putting me out. There was a change over to what we have today.
At that time, Ole Anderson was there. Your relationship with Ole Anderson goes back a long way. What is that? What is that relationship?
Well, Ole knew one thing, that is all about numbers. As Ole would say, it's putting asses in seats, drawing money. And Ole was the only one that had never really fired me, and he always gave me a job. And we drew money together, you know. So that it's a kind of a chemistry that only God gave us. And as old Bearcat Wright used to say, it took all that, hey, P, it took all that to make this.
Did you know Bobo Brazil well?
Well, I worked up there. I went to Detroit. I know him, you know, not personally, but I knew him, but I didn't, you know, I hung out with him a little bit when I'm up there. And I ran some little few places around. But it was on different pages of a sheet of paper, you know, in the business, you know.
What was the difference working in Detroit, Michigan, or working in Atlanta, Georgia?
Well, it wasn't a whole lot of difference, other than you didn't make no money nowhere, and because you drew a lot of people, and it's just two areas that was very, very good. No difference, you know. And I mean, Chic was a real, real drawer and a personality, but he was a bad paymaster, you know. And here in Atlanta, Ole ran for a pretty good while. He understood. It's all about dollars and cents, but then Ole wasn't the owner of the whole thing. It was Barnett and people telling him what to do and what he couldn't do and so many things. So it's, you know. And yeah. I got to work for Vince McMahon Sr. one time, and that was through Chic. I never gave him the opportunity to go back up there, you know. My Chief Strongbow and Jerry Briscoe was two of my very closest friends, I thought, and then I was up there a long time. I never got a chance to go into that New York area. I was to work with Vince, and you know, but Vince using my tapes, and you understand what I'm saying, and you know, no, it's deep, man. It's just a deep, deep, deep piece.
Absolutely.
I drew or could draw as much money as any of them, you know, and was took out my prime of my shit down, my, you know, and even as elderly, you know, and not invited to anything that meaningfully or. You know, no retirement or no nothing, things like that, you know. So it's just one of them things. It's one of them things, you know.
You know, Thunderbolt, I want to talk a little bit about this because what people, I think, most associate you with is being one of the greatest talkers, interviews, promos in the wrestling business. Now, it's easy to just say, well, where did you learn to talk? Well, that's a weird question. Where does it come from? Because even in an interview, you have a cadence, you have a gait, the way you speak, that's very unique. And that's not just to professional wrestling, that's to public speaking. How did you become comfortable in front of a camera and then learn how to talk them into the building, as they say?
Well, man, I I don't need no script. Everything I do it because I want to do it, and I do it from my heart. I do the best I can with it, and I don't really think about what I'm going to say. I just, God furnished me with that, of what we're talking about. And it's all there. It's all out there. So everybody know. Everybody know. They just ain't paying no attention, or they look at it in a different way or whatever. And I mean, I just thank God. I thank God for giving me a springboard. And like I told you, man, let's come on, take me where I've been. You know, Dallas, Fort Worth, Miami, a few places. And, you know, I never will forget. I never will forget. I had a group home one time when I couldn't get no work, and I went back there, and Ole and Bill Watts got me back on an old-timer show, and it was during the Olympics. And I wanted to take my boys. It was going to Australia, and I over there. And Barnett was a pretty fair paymaster. And Barnett pretty well let Ole do what he wanted, but whatever, I don't know. But the things, you know, things that take me where I've been, let's praise and worship the Lord, you know, and God knows what it would come to if they would, you see, the reason they didn't want me around wrestling, whatever, wrestling, you talk about old school. I mean, the ones that they bring in, they brought in for old school, whatever, they didn't have. Eric Bischoff and them didn't know anything about wrestling or whatever, you know, and the people they brought in, that big money, you know, and all of the, you know, the people's champ or myself, they sit down, out of sight, out of mind. But I'd like to touch some folks' hands and talk to some people and possibly put together some real, real good wrestling shows along with the praise and worship. You know, and I mean, just make a change. It's time. Long overdue. It's real people out there.
Now, Thunderbolt, recently, you just brought up Detroit. Back in October of last year, you were at the Cobo Hall reunion in Detroit. What was it like? Yes. What was it like to go back there?
Well, you know, it was a real, real pleasure, you know, and Clark, a friend of mine up there, he really showed me a good time and stuck with me. But the only thing that really bothered me there was, you know, I mean, when I went into Cobo Hall, I saw a mixture of people. Black, white, all color people. Well, you know, mostly now, you know, it's all, I'm not, you know, good fans, you know, white fans. But that's the type of talent that they're dealing with that, you know, a lot of places in the wrestling, I don't think that they even try to recognize the black until they, you know, because there's don't be many there. But not what should be. So. We just need to come together and all. I'd like to do it like they used to do it. Everybody counts. Everybody matters. Take a world, take all type of people to live. And that's a small mind that thinks that deep, man. We could talk for years.
We could, and it's a weird thing because the lack of diversity is there, but why is it there?
Well, they don't see. I'm gonna tell you, like with me, they don't want me around too much stuff of what I'm gonna say. You know, I mean, you can't question what I've done. You know, and what I'm, if I'm not there to, and then if I ain't invited nowhere, can't make no money, can't take care of your family, man, it's, you know, only God been taking care of me. God been taking care of me on this little penny. You know, no retirement, no job. There's nobody but Jesus. Are you following me?
I am.
Do you hear me?
I do.
And you say, you heard me. It's deep, man. It's deep.
When,
and I'm standing on the word. I'm standing on the word. Treat people like you want to be treated. And that's all I can do. And everything I've done, I don't regret none of it because didn't nobody make me do it. I wanted to do it. I wish I could have done a lot of more things or were able to been treated fair in a lot of things or equal, just equal. I do what I do.
When you got into the pro wrestling business, when did you realize there was an issue that you were not going to settle for what they were doing?
And you know, right on that note right there, man, I would love to, because it takes Dallas and Fort Worth to tell it. Dallas and Fort Worth, I just come back from Australia. Dallas and Fort Worth, three or four things. That is a project in itself to hook onto the front end of this, of the story itself, of the awakeness, the awareness, and finding true love and understanding and standing for something instead of going for, hey man, you can't believe what things that how things went down and all. But that's the real stuff. And I like to do a praise and worship. Praise and worship for Wolf in Dallas. I mean, it's a story right there. There's a deep, deep story there. Yeah, deep story there. I have a daughter there, my baby girl, in Fort Worth. Grandkids and so.
What today is life like? What do you enjoy in a given week at this point in your life?
Waking up every day.
Yeah. What's a typical day like?
Well, I mean, you never can get. I for the last 3 and a half years, I've been helping my daughter, my oldest daughter, take care of her mother, and I've been, most of my time has been trying to do what I can do to take care and bring the little family together. She has old timers or whatever that, you know, that I'm trying to keep her from hospital as much long as we can, or home or whatever. Just trying to help out my oldest daughter. And that's about it. That's about it.
Do you miss being in front of people?
Not really. Not really. I mean, it's not because I don't want to be. You know, I mean, when I was in front of people, evidently I, you know, said or done whatever they like, and they did come. But you know, the only part of that is the hurt, the pain, the stress, and the dollars that they shed it down to. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
And that's, it's just, you know, from, I mean, all over, from Texas to California to, you know, Vancouver, Detroit. Hey, this good old USA, man, is something to talk about, and I'd love to bring it together to help bring some sons home from some places that they don't need to be in, and need to be where they can help their mother and their kids and all, and teach people about Jesus.
When did that become a part of your life? Has it always been there, your faith?
Oh, when I left Waterloo, Iowa, my pastor was Reverend Irish Ruckett. And he told me, he said, son, whatever you do, take Jesus with you. Now, at that time, I didn't really understand it all thoroughly, but at that time, I still also thought that I could preach a little bit, but I didn't want to play. And that and Reverend C.L. Franklin, I heard him preach a sermon, "The Eagle That Stirs Her Nest." And those two things kept me, and that Bible kept me. I mean, I went through some hard time when I had to read my Bible and cry and understand what, when I got the understanding, took a while. You know, Jesus is there, but we have to do things too. We got to lay down some less thinking. We got to treat people like we want to be treated. Hey, we got to teach others. It's to God ain't nothing but love. Nothing but love.
You know,
I feel so. Go ahead, man. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm feeling good.
I'm glad. Thunderbolt, when you look back at your entire career, if you had to put one night in a time capsule, just from the career, not the personal life, what night would you put in there? What would you want people to dig up 500 years from now and take a look at?
Well, that all goes down to just what I said back in Fort in Dallas. And man, when the best thing that ever happened to me in my life was falling in love with Jesus. Because of what all, everything that I've done is all there, da, 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 da. But falling in love with Jesus and understanding what a real power is, and little writing, no, that was a really, really turning point in my life, I think.
You know, Thunderbolt, I often think about this because you talk about scripts, and people use word-for-word scripts in the wrestling business. When you went to the TV studio in your day, and let's say you were in the main event against Ole Anderson, and that's what they gave you.
No. Nobody gave me no script.
Well, that's what. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's one of the things
that I think was a very, very, you know, bad thing for the wrestling. Because I mean, can nobody give you no script if somebody's whooping on your butt?
You're right, and that's what I'm
saying. You know what I mean?
That's
one of the things that I'm saying to you a lot is, the promoters, you know, controlling the fan, want them to think what they want them to think. No. You see, and then half of them can't talk, can't do either one. A script is just like saying or doing. So,
well, that right, and today they use them, but you didn't. So I'm saying when you were in a town in your day, and you had Ole Anderson in the main event, because there were no scripts, when they said, go, when it's your time to be interviewed by whoever, what was the process? If you were going to
be... Straight from the hip. Hey, whatever's coming up. Event that's coming up. And talk about wrestling and talk about what's going on. That's all you can do. I mean, and then do what you do. You understand what I'm saying? Not somebody say, well, you go out and say this and say this. And say, no, come on, talk to me. How you feel? Well, no, you talk to me how you feel. I'm going to tell you how I feel.
Well, Thunderbolt, I just want to do this because I think this might be interesting. A good mutual friend of both of us was the late Ox Baker. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say tonight you had Ox Baker in the main event in Columbus, Ohio, and you're going in front of the camera, what would you tell the people?
Hey, how I'm going to whoop on him?
So
how I'm going to whoop on him and he ain't going to do nothing to me?
And how?
That's what I tell the people. Huh? That's what I tell the people, and then I mean, there's other things. That's where Gordon Solie was good. You know, he talked about things. Where Ox was good, Ox tell you what is on his mind. Or how you follow what I'm saying?
Well, and
instead of if they would gave Ox Baker a script. Hey, man, come on. You think he would have followed it?
Oh, no. I interviewed Ox many times.
You're joking, man.
Because I think this might be fun, because I don't think this has ever been done before. And I interviewed Ox tons of times for wrestling events. So if I come to you and I'm the announcer, and I just had Ox Baker on, and I say, ladies and gentlemen, tonight in Columbus, Ohio, Thunderbolt Patterson will be going one-on-one with the very devious Ox Baker. Mm-hmm. And Ox Baker was in here earlier today, and he said that he is going to hit Thunderbolt Patterson with the heart punch, which has killed two men and started a riot in Cleveland, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Thunderbolt, how can you deal with a man who has sent two people to their maker tonight in Columbus?
Just like I've been dealing with him every place else I've been. He ain't never hit me with it, but I've hit him everywhere but under the bottom of his feet. So, I mean, bring it on. And I mean, I don't want to boast or whatever. You got to see it for yourself. He knew it, so hey, you got to do what you got to do. Because I am.
Thunderbolt?
And that would be about all I would have to say. Unless whatever else he said, I'd tell him, I'd remark to it or whatever, you know.
There is a promo on the internet that you did in the early 90s, on Ole Anderson. He's on the floor. You're on the floor. I think you were in the WCW at the time. And it's a tremendous promo. And I think people should look at it if they have... I'm going to try to get it so the fans can hear this. It's very short. It's to the point. But it's one of those things on the internet that everybody has listened to, and here it is. It's in the Omni. We're going back to 1992, I believe this was. Okay, here is Thunderbolt Patterson from 1992. Take a listen.
Championship wrestling gave me the opportunity again to keep my eyeballs on the Ole. You have ruined folks' lives. Not talking about how you dealt with mine in the past, but in the recently, you have been getting on everybody's case. So this Sunday, if you move, this Sunday, it's time that... Ooh, I'm so full. I'm full up to here. Same old. But they say it's going to be a change. There will be a change. History has already been made. Call somebody. Tell somebody. Only if you move. Just move.
1 minute. Thunderbolt, brilliant. Brilliant. Do you remember that?
Listen to me. Yeah, I remember it. But listen to what I'm saying to you. I mean, it's, what was it then? That's what I said. But here's what my point was. Me coming, man, if just like at this moment right now, if anyone here, and we do this, I mean, hey, God got this, we're going to do this, and they're going to, they, people will connect, people will understand. And until we have a change that people can see and feel and understand, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, you understand what I'm saying, man?
We are close, Thunderbolt, and I cannot believe this time. 45 minutes, we did it. But we are going to talk again very soon, and I am more excited than I was before, and I hope you are too.
Well, yeah, I am too. I feel at this moment you understand, and I'd say, let's tell me what you want, what you can do, and what we will do, and let's do this.
Thunderbolt Patterson, you're going to be hearing and seeing him very shortly. Thunderbolt, we will talk soon.
And heaven hide you, everybody, and be good.
That's fantastic. I mean, nobody has more protesters than me. And wait till the riots. You're going to see fantastic riots in Cleveland. These are going to be the best riots you've ever seen. I inspire amazing riots, top-notch riots.
Hey,